This is HPR episode 2465 entitled, Transcript, Where Have You Been All My Life? It is hosted by Operat Zero R and is about 28 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, I take an initial look at Transcript and its features.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with your host, Operator. Today I'm going to go over a new, finally discovered thing called Tron, or Transcript. This is a, looks like a combination of PowerShell and bat file tools that essentially combine all the things that a PC technician would do to a system that might be in a compromised state, all the way up to optimization and defragmenting, which is not really relevant to most file systems today, but it does that. So I'm going to run through this thing called, it's on, if you look under, if you Google Transcript, you'll see the posting. Now inside of that posting is a Reddit script, or the Reddit feed for most of how this is communicated, and a GitHub link. Inside of that Reddit Transcript subreddit is a thing called full Tron descriptions, or he calls it details of all actions taken, and that link is in the Reddit comments, and I'll provide the link to that. I probably should. So first things first, I have developed or ripped and over time created my own clean scripts, which I call a quick kill, or no, quick clean is a bat script that essentially rips a lot of the functions from CCleaner to a bat file, and it also supports secure deletion of those files, and also supports the, or also by default will also delete files from the multiple users on the system. CC or CCleaner actually created that ability later in their later builds, but initially CCleaner didn't have the option to perform on all users, and it also lacked the ability to securely delete these files too. So I was looking around for some debloat stuff. There are debloat scripts for Windows 8 that will remove a lot of the essentially malware, spyware that comes with Windows operating system. And in that search process, I found a script called debloat in this GitHub link for Tron. I tried to, of course, run this debloat bat script and realized that it was part of a bigger mess of bat scripts and PowerShell scripts that automate a lot of crazy things all in one go. So the backstory here is, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do as technicians or computer repair people can be automated. And he I think specifically states like 85% automation to all of this. Now to that point, automation comes at a price. He states anywhere from 3 to 10 hours for some of these events to take place. So I'm going to quickly go over some of my highlights of what I think some of these options are and some of these deep scripts perform. So there's different stages all the way from stage 0 to looks like stage 9, and I'm going over this full Tron description of what I think might be included in all this. So prep stuff is making log directories, detecting Windows versions, detecting free space, kind of setting everything up, looking for updated dbloat lists, detecting if you have admin rights, create one runs registry so that way there's, if any, there's any cleanup activities that happen after reboot, it has some stuff that's under the run once key for the registry, dump the smart status of all the hard drive disk systems. So that's around smart is for hard drives. So that's kind of like a prep mode to kind of check everything and dump out some logs and start some initial logging. And that's under this stage zero. Rkill, anti-malware. We got some GUID dump, list all the installed programs by GUIDs. And I'll kind of go over that where I think is interesting. Process killer. Basically, that it looks like he kills a bunch of processes that that's kind of actually similar to my quick kill script, which has a whitelist of processes and kind of terminates everything else. So I might be able to build on this process killer list. BC edit, safe boot network. I'm not sure, removes this and resets to normal boot at the end of the script, accomplished via. So safe boot with networking. Anyways, it sets your NTP time. It does a bunch of other things. Excuse me. My child is making noises. Backs up the registry, VSS purge. I don't even know what that is. The volume shadow copy stuff. So it looks like it makes a snapshot in time, which that basically is your system recovery thing. Disable sleep mode. So, of course, you don't want the computer going to sleep in the middle of all this. There's a lot of stuff here, and it's looks like it's actually pretty straightforward from here. There's not too many more things. Temp clean. There's a lot of stuff in here around Internet Explorer cleaning, using registry keys, clear my tracks by process. CCleaner, which has actually been removed because CCleaner got compromised, and they were serving malware to like 2.5 million people or something ridiculous. Bleachbit, which I'm not familiar with. Temp file cleanup, which I'm not familiar with. USB device cleanup, which is kind of interesting because over time when you plug devices, USB devices into Windows, over time that structure of how many different devices are plugged in kind of builds up and can cause issues, especially I've seen with Android devices. So that's a really cool, unique thing that I haven't seen captured before. Remove duplicate downloads inside of the downloads folder, which is kind of weird. Windows event logs, which you may not want to purge the Windows events logs. That doesn't sound like the best of ideas if you're trying to troubleshoot a system. Clear Windows update cache. And that's part of all the stage one stuff. Stage two, we have dbloat, which is where I originally started. OEM dbloat by GUID, by name, by BHO, and toolbar by GUID. So this is the interesting part because this explains some of the efforts I tried to create, I don't know, 10 years ago. We have interesting things like in this target by name. This is really cool stuff. Target list. We've got about 244 items in this target list. We have things like Safe Web or Cool Web Search is a big one you probably guys have probably heard of. 180 search is another big one. Cute PDF editor, toolbar updater, is all that stuff. There's a bunch of HP stuff in there. HP assistant, documentation, guide, help, notification, registration, study, support, update. And the whole point of this Tron script is to, I think he uses the word like give the users power back or something to that effect, meaning that yes, it's not malware and it's not adware, but it's not something people want on their system. It is targeted advertising in some cases. Most people don't want this crap on their computers. So I actually said what I'm going to do is update this name to anything Dell, anything HP, and anything, you know, Symantec, and just boom, done. And the theory there is the way WMIC, I think the way he runs these uninstallers, is yet to be discovered. Maybe I'll do a different episode once I understand how this program by name target list stuff works. But if the software supports back in silent uninstallations, I think. I think that's under /S and then the GUID or the name. you can actually uninstall stuff via command line. And there's a certain percentage of stuff that can be uninstalled that way, but there's a large percentage of stuff that cannot be uninstalled that way. So that's the stage two debloat. Disinfect goes around making the assumption that you have some kind of issue with your computer, which in most cases I don't have that issue. There's a bunch of stuff in here. Clear, CryptNet SSL cache, wipe Windows SSL cache. So meaning if you're SSL, if you've got an unauthorized root certificate authority installed on your system because of malware, it will purge that, I guess. Malware bytes, anti-malware, which I think Clear CryptNet cache would actually be a result of just wiping Internet Explorer, so I don't know what that would entail outside of wiping IE settings. Maybe if you have Firefox or Chrome installed. Malware bytes, anti-malware, we all know what that is. Kaspersky virus removal tool, they're actually pretty slick. The Malwarebytes anti-malware is, there's one called Chameleon for Malwarebytes, and it's actually pretty cool. So if you ever want to do Malwarebytes, you actually want to install the Chameleon version because it's kind of cool and it does some obfuscation techniques. So it looks like Notepad, but it actually spawns the Malwarebytes anti-malware. So if there's a piece of software that's preventing Malwarebytes from running, you can actually use this Chameleon software to make it look like you're opening Notepad, and it will spawn a shell, automatically download the latest version of Malwarebytes and run it that way. So maybe I can contribute in that way, and I'll keep a running Notepad of my own stuff here. So Malwarebytes, Chameleon, and then also look at name debloat by name. Also look at ripping CCleaner to bat. So if you look at CCleaner, used to actually come with an INI file, and I started ripping the INI file and posting that on their forums, and I got instantly banned from CCleaner. So he started actually embedding the INI file inside of the executable, but it's still in plain text. So you can go towards the end of the CCleaner executable and find all the registry keys and paths that he uses, that they use for that tool. So there's no big mystery about how CCleaner works. You can also use a program like Process Monitor to hijack and rip those pieces of information to essentially rip what CCleaner does. That's kind of the third stage here. Sophos virus removal tool is another one. Sophos, apparently they're in that space of disinfect. So move on to stage four is repair. MSI installer cleanup. I haven't messed with that. That seems interesting. Maybe you have some ghost MSIs around where Office is half installed or something. DISN image checker and repair. Might as well to check Windows Image Store. Sort of a more powerful system file checker. That's news to me. That's an interesting one. So we'll put that one down to take a look at. System file checker, we know about that one. /C, and it will check your root files and tell you whether or not they're bad and restore them. So that one has actually saved me in some cases. Check this, we don't know what that is. Disable Windows telemetry, which is kind of weird. I don't know what this is. Anti-beaconing. Persistent code, knowledge base, stops, deletes, and diag track, diagnostic tracking service. This is like anti-privacy, which doesn't really fall under repair. That's more of like anti-malware. So that should be more like a disinfect stage. Disable Windows 10 upgrade. Oh, that's because they have a registry patch for that. So remember, if you guys have received the Windows 10 upgrade nag, that kind of went out with Windows 7, 8, and 8.1. It will fix that. Network repair turns on ARP cache and resetting catalog. I don't know what that is. File extension repair. So if someone, a piece of malware, someone or something has screwed with your file extensions, that's kind of interesting. Network repair is actually kind of cool, so maybe I'll keep that one in mind. Let me put the main link up in here. Yep, I got it there. File extension repair, we went over that one. Maybe I'll offer my solutions around that. I have it's called acc.bat, which will associate relative path applications within my USB portable folder with documents. For example, if you run acc.bat within the context of the USB folder that I have that I use, it will associate all the like the video files and things like that with VLC. So that's kind of interesting. Let's move on to stage Fox and Traverse. Stage 5 is patch. Tron updates programs exist on the system. If a coin does not exist, it skips. So this is kind of weird. It updates, looks like it updates 7-zip, Adobe Flash Player, Java Runtime Environment, Windows Updates, and then the comment here, Java Runtime. I personally hate Java, but still widely used, so we need to at least get the system on the latest version. We need to talk about, if we're going to talk about Java, we need to talk about old versions, right? So it doesn't do any good to install the newest version of Java if you can call the old version of Java within some scripting, so what's the point? Windows Updates, checking for Windows Upzip, DS, and base requests. Recompile Windows Image Store. Typically results in multiple GBs of free space. So this is like a cleanup utility, DIS and base reset. Any Windows updates installed prior to. It sounds like that's essentially my remove directory, Windows, the C:\ Windows / software update. It looks like the right way to do that. If you delete the software update folder, Windows is kind of forced to like reassess what is actually installed on the system, which can fix some broken patch levels of systems. So if you install like .NET and you mutz it up, you can actually sometimes fix that by removing the system software update folder and going from there. Stage 6 sounds important and cool, and it's called Optimize. Page file reset the system page file settings, let no one as many as the base has in the code. So we're talking about resetting page file, which I don't know how valuable or interesting that is. Defrag command, a little faster than Windows built. I don't think there's a whole lot of value in running defrag within file systems today. I might be wrong, but most people don't need to run that. Stage 7 is wrap up. It looks like logging, create a restore point, email report if it's optional, upload debug logs, so if you flag that to be sent to somewhere. And there's another stage 8 called custom strips, where it looks like you can put, you can put anything in the stage 8 and then inside of the bat file and it will run it. Which is kind of cool because I've got a lot of bat files that I can run that will clean up stuff that I've embedded in single-click executables using SFX with 7-zip. And that might be a different talk, so let's put that on the calendar while I'm talking. Let's see, HPR, 7-zip, SFX. We're going to do that there, and we're good. So, Stage 8 is custom scripts. Stage 9 is manual tools. We got some tools in here. ADSpy, I'm not familiar with that one. Alternate data streams. So if you guys don't know about Windows and alternate data streams, Google it. It's cool. If you're using a particular piece of encryption or obfuscation, you can actually... What the common technique is to hide your file system, or hides your VeraCrypt volumes or TrueCrypt volumes inside of an alternate data stream. So for example, you have a file that's, yo, this is totally not all my stuff .txt. Now you apply an alternate data stream to that system, to that file, and attach your 100 gig secure image that has a backup, what do they call it? A backup password, so that if you're forced to disclose, you can disclose with the backup password or whatever they call it with VeraCrypt. Anyways, alternate data streams are a cool way to essentially help hide information on your system. So if a forensic person gets a hold of your laptop and they notice that, you know, you've been writing to a particular drive letter that doesn't exist when the system is turned on and you have to mount it, they'll search your computer and never find this file because it's inside of the alternate data stream. So that's part of the forensic investigation aspect of looking for big files that are in alternate data streams. What you'll see also in alternate data streams is copyright or anti-copy protection stuff. So if you're ever trying to bypass or proof of concept or write ODAY or reverse engineer, you want to do it on a 32-bit system with a FAT32 file system. And you will be surprised the amount of crap that bypasses, like the Windows memory mitigation stuff, the Windows 8 stuff, Windows 10 stuff, all the memory shenanigans within NTFS that will also bypass all the NTFS alternate data stream stuff. So, I'm yawning again. I yawned on the last one. So, alternate data streams are really cool. A lot of software uses alternate data streams to store its licensing information and kind of hide from the software piracy folks. ADW Cleaner, popular user suggested adware removal tool. Don't know that one. Rootkit Scanner, ASWMBR. That sounds interesting. AutoRuns, I know, I'm familiar with that one. That one's really cool. CombofX is another good one. CombofX has actually caused some issues for me in the past where it's removed some software that wasn't necessarily legit, but it served a purpose. So it kind of did what it was supposed to do. We've got PC Hunter in here, which is awesome. And I was actually going to suggest this one to the guy, and he's already got PC Hunter in here. So that is cool. PC Hunter is a weird rootkit tool to help you identify rootkits and or other malicious software on your system. It's not very user-friendly. It's not idiot-proof, but it helps you identify what could potentially be going on. Junkware removal tool. This is one I'll have to look at and understand how it works and how it correlates to the debloat stuff, how that works. Net adapter repair. Sometimes you'll get instances where drivers for actual networking devices are compromised by someone appending a DLL or a piece of malware appending a DLL to your network drivers. And then when you pull that piece of software out from under your network driver, your internet doesn't work anymore. Remote support rebooting config, auto run login. So I'm not sure what that's about. Remote support reboot config. Tool to quickly configure auto logon and other parameters for running Tron via remote connection. That seems interesting. So maybe it's talking about auto login. I'm not familiar with how that works. So that seems something we'll look at. Safe mode boot selector. Batch file to quickly select boot up methods to save mode, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fair enough. Service repair, ESET utility for fixing broken Windows services. Sure, I would have messed with that a little bit. Tron reset tool. Tool to quickly reset Tron if it gets interrupted or breaks while running. That's kind of weird. I don't know what the hell that is. So, I think I've gone over how ridiculous this tool is and all-encompassing. There is a settings bat file that you can edit to skip some of these stages. I skipped a lot of them and went with the debloat and the junkware removal tool. It looks like this junkware removal tool is non-existent. Anyways. So what I'll probably do is spend some time shoveling through all of this mess and going from there. Where's the junkware removal tool? Here we go. Nope. Same website. It's a website that does not exist. Let's look at this junkware removal tool because you guys don't have anything better to do than to listen to me ramble on about stuff. Oh, Malwarebytes junkware removal tool. So this is a Malwarebytes thing. Bleeping Computer is a great website. I used to actually contribute to those guys. So now this junkware removal tool excuse me, is a Malwarebytes thing. Scrub out the bad, keeps the good. Removes adware that spawns. So this is an adware removal tool. It's not a malware removal tool. So when I've done assessments against different high-end enterprise-wide Internet of Things / advanced threat detecting dealies, I realized after that assessment, or midway through that assessment, I realized the state of a piece of software can change over time. So if I do an assessment of a toolbar and say, you know what, it's just a toolbar, it's cool. It's not something anybody wants on their computer. It's called junkware, apparently. But it's not malicious in any way. It's not a spyware or a malware. So, for example, if I own that piece of software, and I have, 100,000 user base, what I'm going to do at some point in time is, if when I'm done with that software and done with that user base and I want to sell it, I can sell that software to someone else to do whatever they want to do with it. And at that point, things start to get complicated. So a piece of software can end up initially being non-malicious, and it can be kind of annoying or stupid and worthless, but when it gets resold to a third party, you don't know what's going to happen. So for example, you do an MD5 checksum of this piece of toolbar, and it's good today. And I sell my toolbar to Zhangguang district of wherever, and that tool is now added some extra functionality that may kind of cause alarm to some people, may be constitute malware, may constitute adware or junkware to some people. At the end of the day, nobody wants toolbars at all, so it's all junk, it's all crap, and it's all garbage. There are very few toolbars that are actually useful in today's world, and those constitute plugins, and they're managed through somewhat sanitized and managed software distribution platforms like the Chrome extension libraries and the Firefox extension ecosystem. So to have a toolbar that's not managed by Chrome or Firefox, or even Microsoft has their own ecosystem for their plugins, which I don't even know if people even use, that's an indication that it's probably not something you want on your system. If it's not in one of those three buckets, if you can't find it with a Chrome extension or a Firefox extension, it's probably not something you want on your system to begin with. So anyways, what I'm going to do is crawl through all of this mess, because I love bat scripts, and I love automation, and I love Windows automation, and I love this type of stuff, and I miss IT, and I miss all that. So what I'll do is I'll go through some of these bullet points, and I'll do a follow-up on Tron script, and hopefully provide some value to the guy, because I've been doing this stuff for a while, too. So anyways, hope this maybe helps somebody. I would use this if you're not very familiar with Windows and you don't know how to troubleshoot Windows issues. You just run this Tron script. It's 500 megs. You run it and you walk away and come back, and your system's probably going to be fixed in one way or another. So it's actually a very interesting way to kind of boil the ocean, as it were, from an automation standpoint. And it sounds like something I would create if I was still doing IT support, 15 years later. But anyways, I hope this is useful if you are learning something new, like I try to learn every once in a while. Try to contribute and upload a quick thing, record it on your phone, record it on your laptop, record it with a decent condenser mic or whatever. And it doesn't have to be perfect, it just has to be provide some value to somebody, right?
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.